You're listening to Art Bell's Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from December 7th, 1995.
Back now to Major Ed Dames. Major, I assume publicly, having announced that you're looking for the Unabomber, you check your mail carefully.
I have certain built-in controls, yes.
Yeah, I'm sure you would. Are you getting close to the Unabomber?
We've got the principals, yes. They're concentrated in the South Bend, Indiana area, as I have I've mentioned that publicly once, but the details, further details, we have to provide to law enforcement agency.
I understand. Did they come to you, or did you go to them?
The Unabomber or the federal the agency?
No. You're the agency.
it was a mutual agreement.
Mutual agreement. Where, Major, can this go? In other words, as these abilities continue to develop, where do you think the ceiling might be?
I don't know, Mr. Bell. I really don't know. It would be a world without secrets. What kind of a world that would be, I think it might be a better world, but I can only speculate, as can you. It's a profound tool.
I understand why it scares people. I don't want somebody in my mind.
I understand that. It would be a brave new world. I civilianized this to use it against there's practical solutions outside of law enforcement too. We can look at the causes of illnesses and the treatments, those kinds of things. Lots of science applications, things that we used it for in the military, as a matter of fact. Where it's going, sky's the limit.
Sky's the limit. Here's the facts. Ask your guest, Art, to comment on the suspicious circumstances surrounding the death of Ingo Swann and others who were involved in the original projects.
Ingo Swann is alive and kicking as of this morning.
Well, then I don't know where he got this. Were there any killed in the early projects?
There was one death, but it was a heart attack. One of the remote viewers, a person using an altered state, had a weak heart and keeled over in an operation. That was the only death that the project could record.
All right. From Variety magazine, there was a soldier featured recently who had been shot in the head. Do you know about this man? Apparently shot in the head and developed psychic abilities after that, worked on Saddam Hussein for a while. Then, in fact, he was used against Saddam Hussein, they said, during the Gulf War, and his conscience began to bother him. Do you know anything about this?
That soldier was my former vice president, and he fabricated the complete story. He was shot in the head in Jordan on a training exercise. He was the safety officer for a gunnery practice, and he stood up in front of his men, and he was shot in the helmet. His Kevlar helmet took the round, and he had a headache for 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
That's the extent of that. I have fired him. He was dishonorably discharged from the U.S. Army, less than honorable discharge in lieu of a court-martial, and I can't have people like that associated with SciTech.
So you've got to be very careful, don't you? And I assume you go through a tremendous screening process in trying to determine. How do you, by the way, determine if somebody is genuine? If I came to you and I said, look, I can read minds, I can see what others are doing, I already have that ability, how would you test me?
I don't test you. I interview you. I can train anyone. What I'm looking for is someone who is going to use the skills, because I am not going to invest 9 long, hard days of my time in someone who's not going to take this back and use it. And their perspective discipline, whether that's medicine, we train doctors, scientists, musicians, you name it, who we want to go back and use this in their profession to solve their own problems and to bootstrap their own disciplines. Some of them have written books. If you were to come to me as a natural psychic with that kind of a talent, I would first be leery that you had a big ego. if you your ego was such that you've been told how good you were for many years, I'm going to need to break that down because you have to start from square one with me. Mm-hmm. Think of if I were an NBA scout and I saw some kid in an inner city who could run rings around his peers with a basketball.
Yes.
If that kid was prepared to come with me and start from square one in a training camp, I know I can make an all-star out of him. But if he's not, then I can't do anything with that.
Of the two possibilities, would you rather train the untrained and, you know, those who have a sort of latent ability that you can bring out, or would you rather have somebody already with a great power in this area come to you?
I've been training since 1983, and I think it's split down the middle, 50-50. About half of the people I have trained who have become all-stars rather than just mere professionals were said they had no psychic ability to speak of, and it turns out that they did and didn't know it, and they were superb. The other half were people who had natural psychic ability and knew it, but we're willing to toe the line and submit to the training protocols, which are rigorous.
Is there a physical, psychological price somebody pays for doing this work?
I think only that it changes the way you look at the world, and that does have certain ramifications. It does not empower you, but when you reach a point in training where you can stick your heads metaphorically up above the cloud and see where you've been, where you're going, and your relationship to everything else around you for the first time, that is a fairly life-changing event. So, yes, that and with regard to that, it does.
All right. There's two sides to every story, and here's another side. Suppose I take your course. I become an all-star, and I decide that I'm going to target the head of Disney or ABC. And I'm going to do this because I think there might be something going on. And I find out there's going to be a merger. And so I buy the right stock, and I start making a lot of money with this power. Is that an improper use of the power?
I prefer to call it a skill than a power.
All right, a skill.
I can't be the judge of that, Mr. Bell. What I'm doing is training people to use this. Generally speaking, the more one uses it, the more, for some strange reason, the more ethical one becomes. It has a spiritualizing quality to it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know why that is, but it does. But yes, you could do that. It takes a lot of work to do that, and it would take you a number of days to pull in the right amount of information. But yes, you would be able to do that.
All right. Would several people with this skill be more powerful than one?
The way that we employ our company is the same way that we used it in the military mission mode. We have 6 to 8 remote viewers working on important projects. That's the only way that we can guarantee, and we're the first in history to guarantee that psychically produced data will be dead on a project. That's the only way we can achieve that degree of confidence factor.
Okay, so it's not a matter of additional power. It's a matter of a cooperation. So
mutually corroborating data. We have built-in controls. Half the viewing team has absolutely no idea what the target is. Some have just a modicum of target information.
So you've got a control group.
We have a control group. Yes.
How did you proceed from the military side of this to the privatized side of this? You've got a company. It does this kind of work. What kind of clients, other than law enforcement, looking for the Unabomber, that sort of thing, what might typically be a client of yours?
A lot of science, research and development types of companies who are interested in solutions to technical problems, or perhaps a new drug, vaccines, those kinds of things.
AIDS research?
Yeah, some AIDS research. We actually had almost landed a project to look at the origin of AIDS. Now we have to be careful when we do something like this, too. A, AIDS is both a disease and a virus. So when you're searching the collective unconscious the way that we do it in a very rigorous, systematic manner, if we are looking for the origin of the AIDS virus, we can go back 10,000, 40,000 years, where it appeared to be a canine virus that jumped ship and became simian, or monkey-born. But if we look for, if we just target the topical idea of AIDS, then we see a couple decades ago, its beginnings as a pandemic. So we have to be very careful about what we call queuing, those search terms.
All right, you keep using the term collective unconscious. Now, delineate that kind of work with a specific target. How do you collect information from the collective, and by that I assume you mean the world's unconscious?
The global mind.
The global mind. All right, there you are.
Yeah. Using the protocols that we use, we turn our conscious attention to a target. Our unconscious attention follows. It's our unconscious attention is already immersed in this global mind. It's already there. It doesn't go anywhere. It simply turns and looks in the direction. Look, I'm using that term loosely. It focuses upon that specific area that we're interested in.
I don't suppose you coined the phrase "think globally."
No, not me.
All right. I have had on my program, and will have on tomorrow night, somebody who claims great psychic powers and has documented them to a great degree, Gordon Michael Scallion.
I've heard of him.
You know the name.
Yes.
He has predicted accurately weather cycles, volcanic action earlier in the year, and in March, a series of earthquakes that he now believes may be culminating in a very, very large series of earthquakes soon. In your probing of the collective consciousness, do you run into anything like this?
Yes, sir, we do.
Can you tell me anything about what you found?
Or will, in a general will you... fashion, yes. In a general way, it appears that over the years, we've looked at these just as an experiment, as a military team, and compiled results. We perceived massive global weather changes that preclude growing crops. The vicissitudes of these weather changes will preclude growing crops the way we normally do. We'll no longer be, in North America at least, the crops will have to be grown in habitats that are controlled. A tremendous problem with epidemics and pandemics, diseases in third world countries, particularly because ozone, it appears that the ozone problem is increasing the mutation rate, stressing the Earth's immune system, if you will, and causing microorganisms to mutate much faster than vaccines can be made to keep up with them, causing a lot of deaths. We're perceiving a bovine AIDS that kills a lot of babies. It's transmitted by somatotropic growth hormone, the Dairymen's Association. It's a needle that they use to inject this growth hormone to increase milk production.
Yes.
That also will transmit this bovine AIDS that will not affect adults as much as infants who lack the immune system to handle it. And actually, the situation gets grimmer after that.
Grimmer. All right. I am not as sensitive any more than anybody else, but I watch the news. I've done this show, you know, news-oriented program, for 11 years now, this particular program. So every day, I do homework and I watch the news. And I have come to coin or use a word called the quickening. I call it that, whether it's economic, political, social. In every single area of human endeavor, events appear to be accelerating toward I don't know what, but I can just feel it, and so I've called it the quickening, and it kind of gone on. Do you feel what I feel? To me, it's just the hair stands up on the back of my neck, the other shoe about to fall kind of feeling, the acceleration of events. Is there anything to that?
I think we're in for a lot of character-building opportunities as corporately, a world body. One of my best remote viewers, I took the best and the brightest from the military team and employed them in my company. One of them is still on active duty with the Defense Intelligence Agency. He has an explanation. Well, actually, he has a good description of what he and those of us on the team feel is happening. The Wankel engine, as you know, needs a governor on it. It's a rotary engine.
Yeah, oh yes, I have one.
It needs a governor because it starts to accelerate out of control.
Right.
And it explodes.
Right.
And he feels that the Earth, that the globe is in that sort of a modality now, that it's accelerating out of control without the governor, and then it's going to go bam. So I tend to agree with that.
Most psychics, when you talk to them, will say, here is my prophecy, but it does not have to be. In other words, a change in human behavior will produce a change in the thread of time in the future. Do you subscribe to that?
Many of my students who are scientists and doctors do ascribe to that. I'm more pessimistic by nature, having been a soldier for many years. I don't think we're going to pull ourselves up by the bootstraps. I think that it's a finger in the dike approach to many things, including ozone problem. So I disagree. I think the situation is going to get grim and that we will not, in fact, rise to the occasion.
All right. As you look into the collective unconscious, I too share that half-empty glass of water view with you, by the way. But I'm not sure what lies upon the other side. I simply know that, like the airplane halfway across the Pacific in the old days, the little red light saying point of no return, that's already on for humanity. We are going to go on to whatever is next. I just don't know what is next. Maybe you do.
I don't think that this is necessarily the forum to discuss that. It involves things that we perceive in the out years, and they're fairly esoteric, and I don't want to really, as president of SciTech, talk about those things now, because they are sort of off the wall, let's say.
Off the wall?
Yeah. But there's something out there that's very exciting. However, we'll pay a heavy price as a world community to get there. Like I say, a lot of character-building opportunities will be out there for our children and our grandchildren.
Well, it's nice to know that we'll have grandchildren anyway.
Some of us will, yes.
Regarding actual physical Earth changes, geographic major Earth changes, are they coming?
They are.
That was a yes?
That was a yes.
Look, you've been really kind to come on the air with me this morning. You did it on very short notice. I want to give you an opportunity to plug your company. You want to plug it in some way?
Oh, I think our success on the Unabomber project will probably do that for us, although I thank you for the opportunity. I have a training program where a very few select people a year are accepted into our Beverly Hills training office for 9 days, an intensive one-on-one. There's only one student per course, and we teach these skills to those students. If there are any of your listeners who think that they might want to do that, they can communicate with me on.
And so they could write you a letter, and they could in essence apply.
Yes.
If they wanted to. All right. Well, Major, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. I appreciate your clearing up an awful lot of things that I didn't understand about the kind of work that you do.
Yeah, I think the point where the researchers experiencing only 15 to 20% accuracy, those are untrained people in a laboratory environment. My corporate team has 80% to 90% accuracy at the end of 3 days.
80 to 90% after 3 days?
That's right. That's how effective, that's what your tax dollars paid for, that degree of effectiveness. As professional officers, we would not have stuck with something that was ineffective for that many years. This thing really worked.
Well, in a way, though, what you're doing makes what Orwell predicted and wrote about pale by comparison. I wonder what kind of world Major Dame's world would be. It'd be a different place, that's for certain. Major, I want to thank you again. Thank
you
for being here. You take care. There you have it, everybody. That's Major Ed Dames of SciTech. He took it from the military into the private sector. And remember, Mr. Unabomber, he's checking his mail. We'll be back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from December 7th, 1995.